You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 is where we will be this evening. But I do want to say thank you to all of you who came out on a lovely evening to listen to God's Word be taught. Honestly, I love every opportunity I get to be up here. It's awesome. Honestly, if somebody asked me, hey, could you do this every Sunday? I might say yes. Not because I get any glory out of this, but because it's awesome to talk about my Savior and God. So let's open in a word of prayer before we get started. Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, I am thankful for all that you do for us. And Lord, we're going to talk about all that you've given us today when we talk about the talents. And Lord, you have given us everything, and all that we've been given has been to be used for your honor and glory. And so, Lord, I pray as we talk about this message this evening that you would help us to be able to be faithful to you, to be faithful to what you've given us, and to use it for your honor and glory. Lord, that we would not be like this servant who had one talent, who wasted his opportunities, who buried his opportunities, did not even try to use what God had given him for your honor and glory. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to not be that way. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that your words would go forth. Lord, that anybody who remembers anything that's said today, it would not be what I said, but it would be what your word says. Lord, that your word would speak and that it would change hearts, that it would grow hearts, that it would teach hearts and speak to hearts this evening. Lord, again, give us a good evening as we speak about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as I said, if you haven't turned there, we're in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. So this parable, at least where it's set in Matthew, now, Matthew is not necessarily set chronologically, but where it is set, it's not too far after Jesus' triumphal entry, and it's before, though, of course, his crucifixion. So it comes right in Matthew 25, right after the parable of the 10 virgins. And its purpose here is it's important to remember that Christ is going to come back. That is the purpose of the previous passage. And so he's continuing this idea of what the kingdom is like. What is the kingdom of heaven like? This parable is very similar to parables that are found elsewhere. They are not exactly the same, however. In Luke 19, verse 11 through 27, this is the parable of the 10 minus. It is very similar to that. However, there are some differences. One of the differences is that the citizens of the kingdom didn't want the master. And so that is like an added information to the story. You also have that no one knows the hour from Mark 13, 34 through 37. That's another place where this is at least referenced to. So this is probably a message that Jesus, if he taught it once, the disciples interpreted it different ways, but it possibly was one that Jesus used a lot to explain what the kingdom was like to people, because we see three different variations of what he's teaching here. The biggest difference between these, other than the citizens' hatred that we see in Luke 19, the biggest difference between these is the amount of money. The 10 minus was just a value of currency. What we're talking about here is a talent of silver or a talent of gold. That's a weight. It is not a currency. And so this weight was usually about 75 pounds worth of money. So for us, it's a considerable amount of money. So one talent would have been about $800,000 in our day and age. Five talents would have been about $4 million. So this is a lot of money that is being given, and it's different than, of course, the other parables. Another difference is the rewards that are given to the good stewards, which is instead of cities in the others, it is coins or money or rulership here in our passage. So they're very close, but a little bit of difference there. As we look at what this parable is, let me get into what it says here. So we're starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you did not scatter seed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there it is. This is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it starts off as this story of a master. And for us, we know that this master is Jesus. This is God himself, who is the master who is going away, and he is giving his servants an amount of money, an excessive amount of money, as we have just learned. And he's giving it to them to be good stewards with. Use this money and put it to good use. Honestly, this would be the case if you were worked in finance or you were a businessman and say you were going away for a vacation. You would ask your employees to not spend all of your money while you were gone. Obviously so. Same kind of thing here. Make sure you're doing wise things with it. So he entrusts his 3 servants here with different amounts, and so we'll get into that. But the master, of course, we're referring to here is Jesus. It's God. The servants are, or slaves, depending on your translation, are disciples of Jesus and followers who have yet to believe in him. So this is us. We are the followers. We are the ones who are the servants and that God gives us talents. Now, one of the things that a lot of people hear, when we hear the word talent, we think of abilities and all that stuff. And that's part of what he means here. But really, it's what God has given us. God has given us a bunch of things. He's given us he's giving us money. He's given us jobs. He's given us all these things. And what we're supposed to do with the stuff that we're given is to honor and glorify God with it. It's not for our own benefit. It's not for our own entertainment. It is for God. And so that is where this story is hitting, is that the talents are for us. This is what we've been given, and we need to use it for God's glory. So let's see first, verses 15 through 19, we see the trust. So this is my first point this evening, the trust that is bestowed in the servants. And so we'll see this in verse 15 through 19. Therefore, Jesus says here, I think my Bible flipped on me. There we go. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 went and traded with them, made another 5 talents, and likewise the one who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So you see the trust that the master has. The trust is... I mean, $4 million, that's a lot of trust for me, honestly. That is pretty serious. Even $800,000 is a pretty serious investment in saying, here you go, here's an amount of money, use it wisely, right? So the master has trust, even though it seems that there is a variation in the trust here, that one has 5 and one has 2 and one has 1, he trusts all 3 of these, quite to an excessive amount. He trusts that they will use this wisely. And so the master gives responsibility to all 3 of these. So we're going to see later why maybe he had picked the guy who had 1 talent, but he's trusted them all. So he gives responsibility to his 3 servants. As 2 Peter 1:3 says, as his divine power is given to all of us, the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. So he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us everything that we've gotten, everything we have in life is not ours. We have been given it to it by God. And there are, of course, things that we use incorrectly. We use for our own glory. We use for our own entertainment. But for the most part, we are supposed to be using what God has given us for his glory, for him. It's not for us. So when we get a certain amount of money, it's not to say, hey, now I can go buy myself a boat. It's to instead say, now is my opportunity to give to the kingdom, to invest in what's going to happen in the future. And so that's what he's talking here is we need to use our abilities, we need to use our talents for the kingdom. One of the things that I've really been very thankful for is Mike and Larry Hess. They have done a great job with all the stuff that they've built out here with the playground and the pavilion. They've done an awesome job. And they have those talents and abilities to use for that. Now, you would not come to me and say, Logan, could you please build that stuff for you? Because it probably wouldn't go well. Yes, I'd probably use a lot of Google, and it probably would fall over by now since it's been up. So you don't want me doing that, right? So we all have different abilities, but we're all still given abilities, given things that we can use for the kingdom. Even if it's not preaching, even if it's not teaching, there are plenty of ways to serve in the church and in our community to use what you have been given for God's glory. And so that's what we've been doing. By God's divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So as we talked about, the implication is just like a good business owner, this master wanted to give his servants an opportunity to grow the profit. He wasn't going to be there to do it. Let's see how the servants are able to use their money. And for us, Christ has given us a mission, right? He has given us the mission to share the gospel, to share what Christ did for us, to show and point everything to God. That is our purpose. That is our mission. If you are here this evening and you said you've been wondering about what is your purpose in life, I can tell it to you pretty quickly and simply. It is to glorify God and to share Jesus Christ. There it is. And some of you might say, well, why? How can I share about Jesus when I don't even know who he is? Good question. We can introduce you to him. That's what church is for. Jesus came to this earth because we broke a contract with God. We sinned against him. In the garden, we decided to choose sin over following and obeying. And so because of that sin, we have continued to sin. It is passed on through generation after generation of us just doing what we want, not what God wants. And so Christ came because he loves us. Not because of anything that we did, not because we're super cool or great or good. He loves us. And so he came as a baby, lived a perfect life, and then paid for our sins. He died on a cross, taking all of our sins with him. And not only did he just die on a cross for all of our sins, he then rose again, conquering sin and death forever. And so he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is king. He is ruler. It's no longer that death just is the end for us. Death is now an opportunity, if we believe in Jesus Christ, to be with him one day forever, if we put our faith and trust in him. It's as simple as that, putting our faith and trust that what he did was he paid for our sins, and that he will bring us to heaven one day, that we will have eternal life in him. But he doesn't just give us that, and we're going to see even through this lesson how much more God blesses us, even on top of just getting to heaven. Because heaven is good. Heaven is great. Heaven is what we want to be, where we want to be, but God blesses us even further. And we'll see that through the other servants. So just like the servants, every earthly thing we've been given is to be used for God's glory, and we're supposed to preach the gospel with it. The servant we see who receives one talent. He does something very interesting and different than the other two. The other two, they just start using their talents, they start spending it around, and they start making back money because they're being wise with their investments. The guy who gets one, he just decides, you know what, I'm going to bury this in the ground. I don't want anyone to see it. I don't want to use it. I don't want to lose it. I'm just going to bury this in the ground and not do anything. I'm just going to sit around and wait till my master comes back, because obviously he just wants his one talent back, so I'll just keep it safe for him. I'll put it in a lockbox, no worries. He'll get it back. Got to make sure I don't lose it. He is the lowest amount, and he chooses to just bury it in the ground. He chose not to use his talents for good or bad, but to do absolutely nothing with it. Nothing. Not a good thing, not a bad thing, just nothing. Just bury it. And as we'll see later on, what the master calls him, he is a lazy and chose fear instead of being active and obedient. Instead of doing what the master said, which was take care of my money, make sure that you're doing wise investments and doing wise things with it, instead he decided, I'm going to do nothing with it, absolutely nothing. And I'm afraid, and we'll see his reasoning of why he does what he does here in a minute. But laziness is not something that's looked fondly upon in the Bible. Honestly, I don't think laziness is looked fondly upon even in our own selves. Because even lazy people will probably condemn other people for being lazy. They'll be like, well, I'm not as lazy as that guy. I think we all know laziness is not what we're supposed to be doing. We all have like an innate thing inside of us that God made that knows we're not supposed to be lazy. But the Bible is pretty big on lazy is not good. Proverbs 26:13-16 says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the street. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hands in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So when it says that there's a lion in the road, I don't know, there was one time I saw this meme on Facebook. And it was somebody who had like a tiny little tree branch that had fallen behind their car. And they're like, oh, I got to tell my boss I can't go to work today because a tree fell down in my yard. It was a tiny branch. You can move the branch and go to work. But that's what a sluggard is. That's the same kind of thing is. Oh, there's a lion. I can't go to work today. There was a lion outside. Now it was probably a cat that was probably like really small. But there's a lion. I can't go to work today. And he's trying to get out of what he has to do. And then the second part it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. So he's just rolling over in bed. Like, I don't want to get up. I'm just going to roll over. Spend here. It's noon, you know, and I'll just go for another hour. It's 1 o'clock, one in the afternoon now. And then it says even here, as the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and it wears him out to put it back to his mouth. Oh, it's just so hard getting your hand back to feed yourself. Somebody else has to do it for me. Just so lazy. That's the kind of thing that's condemned here. And then, on top of it, the sluggard feels that he's wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So he thinks he's smarter than seven people who say, you probably shouldn't do that. Maybe you should go get a job. Maybe you should go do some work. No, I'm fine. It'll be fine. And so the sluggard is not somebody that's looked upon well in the Bible, and that's sort of what this servant is doing. He is not being productive. He's not being fruitful. He is doing absolutely nothing, contributing nothing, doing nothing. So we see my first point this evening was the trust. The second part we see here is the reward, and we see it in verses 20 through 23. I'll start in verse 19. He says, but after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, look, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So here we see the first 2 stewards. What is their reward? Interestingly enough, if you look at this, they are almost identical, almost, I would say, even exactly identical between both of them. Their success level is different, though, right? One got 2 talents back, the other got 5 talents. So what we can see here is it's not really based on how successful you are. It's not that because you get more success with your talents that you're better off in the kingdom. No, it's really God wants faithfulness. That's what we see here between the two of them. Because the man who receives 5 talents was faithful in what he did, and he received, as was the second man. Both are rewarded for their faithfulness, not their success. The first man was faithful. He faithfully used, both men were faithfully used what the master had given them, and God rewarded them with the talents that they had gotten and earned. And he made them rulers over many things. So there was a reward for following through what the master asked them to do. He gave them what they earned. He said, here you go, right back to you. But not only that, he also told them to enter into the joy of your Lord. God's favor and joy rests in heaven, as with those who do what he commands. When we follow and obey what God wants to do, that makes God happy. It gives him the joy. It gives him love for us. It gets him excited for us. And he invites us into that. He invites the first man into it as well as the second man. And they not only that, they got to rule over many things. As we'll see here in a second with the second man, it's our faithfulness. Our faithfulness is what is important. The second man here, he received two talents and gained two more talents. And he also entered in the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say a variation of, it's not like the Catholic faith where we have a hierarchy of heavens and you get a level and, you know, the guy who got five, he's up here, and the guy who got two, he only got two. It's not a success thing. It's not based off of exactly what they did. It's about their faithfulness. They followed what their master said. They put in the work to get things in return. They obeyed what their master asked them to do. And for both of them, they get told, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's the thing that I think all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior want to hear. We want to hear at the end of our lives that we did well. One of the things I've gotten to think on the past few days, today is my birthday. I've just turned 30 years old, which is crazy to think about. But as I sit and think about it, one of the things that can easily seep in is the fact that I can look at all the things I don't have, right? The things that I want to do in my life and go, wow, 30 years are gone. Yikes. That's like, if I'm lucky and I make it to 90, I'm a third done. If I'm unlucky and it's 60, I'm half done. That's not good. And so you can start to panic a little bit and go, well, I don't have a long-term permanent job. I don't know exactly what God's going to have for me. But what I can, if I look on all the things I don't have, that I'm not married, that I'm all these things, then of course that's going to change how you see yourself and you're going to get into a bad place. If you look on what God has done, God has done amazing things in my life. The fact that I am standing here this evening is all a work of God. It has nothing to do with me. It is not because I excelled exponentially at public speaking. Honestly, I hated public speaking in high school. This is all God's work. So even as I look back on how God has been faithful to me, I can be thankful for what he's done. And at the end of the day, what I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear well done from all of the people on Facebook or all the people on Instagram, because honestly, their opinion doesn't matter. The only person's opinion who matters is God's. And I want to hear him say, well done. Thank you for doing what I asked you to do. Because that's all he asks us. He gives us commandments. We follow the commandments. That's it. Simple. We try to make it more difficult. We let some of what the world tells us who to be or what to be into our lives. But really, the only person we're trying to please is our Lord and Savior. And that's what we need to be about. Because we long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. When we are faithful over earthly things, and we use them for God's glory, God will give us more responsibility in heaven. He will put us in charge of things. We have been given an opportunity here on earth to make investments for the kingdom, to share the gospel, to speak the gospel, to live out the gospel to a watching world, and an opportunity to build crowns in heaven. And a lot of times we waste them with our attitudes that are not right. Sometimes we're upset to have to go to church again on a Sunday night. Sometimes we're upset to have to go to church on a Wednesday night. Sometimes we're upset to have to serve in whatever ministry God has put us in because, oh boy, those kids are crazy. I know it. I live it every day. I work with kids. So I get it. But at the end of the day, that's not what's important. We're investing for the kingdom. We don't know what interaction you're having with a first grader right now that they will remember somehow in 30 years and go, you know, I'm really glad that Mr. Howard explained the gospel to me when I was in first grade because I needed that. You don't know. We don't know any of that. In fact, if we knew everything and every impact that we had on people, we probably would get really prideful and like, look at me. Look at all the things God's done through me. He doesn't tell us everything. It's really awesome when he does, but he does it just enough so that we continue to do it, but we also don't get too full of ourselves because it's really not us. It's Christ working through us. None of the words that I say, none of the words that I even say this evening are the important thing. It's all what God says. What is his word speaking this evening? So we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to get more responsibility in heaven. We want to be like these faithful servants. As I heard a couple summers ago when I was at camp, Pastor Orlando Collazo came out and he was speaking for us. And he had quite a funny statement when talking about being faithful and fruitful. He used to call it as being faithful and fruity. That we are supposed to be making fruit. We're supposed to be fruity in our life. Meaning as we're being faithful, God will give us fruit. And we will see it. And it's how exciting it is. We're supposed to be faithful and fruity, not useless and fruitless. We're not supposed to be a barren tree that has nothing going on. And we're absolutely useless for any ministry or anything that everyone goes, ooh, that guy, we can't use him in that ministry because, yeah, nope. We need to be fruitful, faithful in our lives. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots in the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So as Jeremiah is speaking here, we are blessed when we are like a tree planted by the water, that we don't have to be afraid of when the storm comes through or the heat comes. We don't have to be afraid or anxious in the year of drought because we're rooted in God. We're rooted where we need to be, no matter what happens in our lives. And that's being faithful, following what God asks us to do, even when it's hard. And so now we're going to look at the other servant. And this is my third point this evening, which is the punishment. And we'll see in verse 24 through 30. Then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there it is. You can have it back. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at least by my coming I'd receive something back in interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and will have abundantly. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the one comes. He comes to his master, and he says, Lord, you're a hard guy. You kind of scare me. You somehow are able to be profitable where you shouldn't be, and somehow you gather seed where you didn't scatter. So I was afraid that, you know, I was going to not, you know, mess it up, not do a good job. So I just hid it in the ground. I just buried it. Here you go, you can have it back. And you can imagine the look on the master's face here, because he had, again, what had he told them to do? He had told them to be faithful, to use the talent and to grow it, just like a good business person would. And here's this guy who's just burying it in the ground, not even using it. And he immediately turns on him by saying, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I did not scatter seed. So as we look at this man, he has really a wrong view of his master, because he thinks this his master is hard and harsh. Now, there might be some of you this evening, hopefully not, but there might be some of you this evening who might think of God that way, that God is harsh, that he is cruel, that he is unkind sometimes? We might think that. And usually that's because our lens is wrong. We don't look at it, and we don't really know who God is. And that's what this servant, he had no idea who his master was. No idea whatsoever. And his master is going to turn his words back upon him with this, with his phrase, then his first response. But he had no idea. This servant saw God as, or his master, as a hard and cruel master. And he was worried more about losing the talent than actually obeying. He was worried about punishment. Newsflash, he's still going to get punished pretty badly. He was more worried about losing something than actually obeying. And so his master responds by calling him wicked and lazy. Again, if anyone has ever called you lazy, if you think back to times, I'm sure how it can get you upset. It's kind of one of those things that just makes you mad. Again, because we don't want to be lazy. So he calls him wicked and lazy, and he says, and uses his own words to condemn him. This is not saying that the master's agreeing with him, saying that, oh yeah, I am a hard person to love, or a hard person, I don't care. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying here is, if I was who you say I was, why weren't you working? Because if I was a hard and cruel master, wouldn't you have worked hard? Because you knew the cruel master was going to come and punish you. You knew it. It was going to happen. He was coming. He was going to come back. He's pointing out that if you are true, what you're saying is true, then you would have acted differently. If you truly believed I was harsh, that I was cruel, that you would have worked harder, because you know what a cruel and harsh master would do. The master points out that even if he'd just been a little bit faithful and put the money with the bankers, the master would have made more. Even if you just gave a little bit of effort, if you just tried, you know, to give your honor and glory to God, just a little bit, just a tiny bit, we would have at least been profitable, if that's the goal. But he didn't even do that. And his talent is taken from him. You lose everything that I gave you. Again, as when we die, we don't take anything with us, but the investments that we make while we're on earth, they count in heaven. And this man lost all of his investment. And we'll see what happens to him here in a second as we continue reading. As he continues saying, he says, so the talent, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. What he's saying here is those good servants, those who follow the Lord, who have received the divine grace, inherit immeasurable blessings over and beyond eternal life and favor. Those who truly are following what God says will receive blessing. Maybe not this life, right? Maybe we won't get $1 million from the lottery in this life. But we will get blessings in heaven for the effort and heart that we put into what we are doing in our service. It will be more and abundantly than just we get to heaven. As Pastor talked about this morning, the man on the cross, he's making it into heaven, and he believed. He put his faith in God. That he might not have a ton of things in heaven, but he does have that. He has his eternal life. How much more for us who have put our faith and trust in Christ when we had time in life to then put more and invest into the kingdom, to grow what God has given us to work on, given us to do. However, those that despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, as we see in Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God is kind to us. He gives us so many things in this life, and all of it is to point us back to realizing that we need him. Everything we've been given is because we need him. We are pretty fragile creatures. We are kind of like houseplants. We kind of need watered. We need sleep. We need sunshine. We need all of those things. We are not all imposing. We can suffer everything. Our souls can, but not our physical bodies. And so what he's saying here is we need all that stuff. We need air, oxygen, to breathe. We need water to stay alive for more than 3 days. We need food to stay alive for more than 50 or 60 days. We need these things. We are dependent on other stuff, and that's to point us back to how much God has given us and how much we should, again, be pointed back to him and go, wow, thank you, Lord, for taking care of everything I need, how much he's given us. And we don't want to despise like those in Romans 2 who were showing contempt for the riches of his kindness, saying, what does it matter? It's mine. I can do what I want with it. Or forbearance and his patience, that God's kindness is to lead us to repentance and turn to him. Those people, those who despise the riches of God's goodness, will lose it all. And we'll see here in the second of how much more this person lost. Clinging to our stuff and using it for ourselves will result in us losing it. It's not going to last. As Jesus says, we're supposed to lay treasures up in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, because all the stuff here is going to go bad. It's going to go moldy. It's going to fall away. So clinging to our stuff is not worth it. And we see what happens here in verse 30 to this man. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, earlier in Matthew, Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There will be people, as we saw this, who are unfaithful. They don't use their talents for good. They might pretend, as we saw in Matthew chapter 7. People said, Lord, look at all we did. We prophesied. You know, we did some cool things. We said some good things. We cast out demons even. And we did some really good wonders in your name, Lord. Look at all this. You should let us in, right? No. You didn't take the time to obey what I said. You didn't do the simple thing. And that's what happens to this poor servant. He did not obey what his master said, and he is cast out into utter darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not a good thing. He is completely thrown out because he never knew his master. He didn't realize who his master was. He didn't take the time to build a relationship with his master. He never really put his faith and trust in Christ. He didn't. He decided that his way of doing things was better, that the fear, the whatever, got in the way. He may have been at church. He may have done all the things, said all the things, but his heart never changed, never put his faith really in Christ, and that's why he's told to depart and be sent into utter darkness, into hell, for the unfaithfulness and unbelief in God as our Lord and Savior. It is a physical choice to choose to go to hell. We have to choose whether we are going to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, or we choose the opposite. Even a no choice is still end up in hell. We have to choose to believe in Jesus Christ, to put our faith in him, and then do what he says, to follow him, to be fruitful, to be faithful. So as we close with our takeaways, the first one is we are to be faithful with what God has given us. God has given us so many things. We live in America. We do not live in Africa. We don't live in India. We have been given so many things. The fact that we are able to drive, we have cars, we have houses, we have food. I don't know about you. I don't think I can remember a time where I have gone without knowing that there's some kind of food in our house. Even when my dad lost his job for a full year, we still had food because the church provided for us. I can't remember a time like that. We've been given all of these things. We've been given an ability to make money, to go places and make money. We've been given an opportunity to hear about Jesus every single Sunday, every single Wednesday here at this church. We've been given all of these things. How are we being faithful to what God has given us? And it's everything. There is not anything that we can look at in our own lives that we can say, you know, I did that all on my own. I did that without God. That is our heart's bad right there if we think that, because it's wrong. Everything is given to us by God. So we are to be faithful to what he has given us and to point it back to him. We are image bearers of him. That means we are mirrors. We reflect everything back to God. That's why maybe some of you will say, when I've preached, you say, you know, great job on your message. And I try to say thank you now because I do appreciate it, but really, it's not me. It's praise the Lord, because it's Him. He's the one who does this. He's the one who put me in this opportunity. He's the one who guided me, who allowed me, who put in pastor's head to even ask me to preach. All of that is God. It's not me. That's why we're supposed to be doing, being that image bearer and reflecting the glory back to God. The second thing is our actions prove if we truly believe. What we're doing with God's commandments and what He's told us to do proves whether we believe Him or not. If we do lip service and we just try to look good at church, we just try to look good everywhere we go, but not really try to go deeper, not really talk to God, not really have a relationship with Him, then that's going to show what we truly believe. Where our heart is very important. And so we have to be careful where our actions, because they will prove us out. People can tell when we're fake and we're not real. As much as we like to think that we can hide it and we get away with it, people can tell. People know. So we have to, our actions prove what we believe. And number three, if we are marked by an unfaithfulness, we reveal our unbelief and we lose it all. If our unfaithfulness is more important, if our laziness is more important than doing what God asks us to do, that shows, again, we don't really believe Him. We don't really believe that He will help us, that He is with us. He has given us the Holy Spirit who lives within us, who works through us. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work inside to be able to even do all of these awesome things. And that starts with a relationship with Him. It has to. We can do a lot of things, but doing doesn't save us. It's putting our faith and trust in Jesus that does. And number four, it's not too late to turn to Jesus and be a faithful servant. So even if as you came into this evening, you have been an unfaithful servant, you haven't been using your talents and abilities for God's kingdom. You have been hiding them, you've been keeping them to yourself, you've been doing lip service to God, but not really putting your faith and trust in Him, it's not too late. It can be turned around. It can be saved. Tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. It can change today. And it can change for 40, 30, 80 years in the future, depending on how long the Lord has and how long the Lord tarries. It can change tonight. You can be a faithful servant. You can be like the first two. I'm sure the first two, we don't get this mentioned, I'm sure they made mistakes sometimes, because guess what? We're all sinners. We make mistakes. But are we investing in the kingdom, or are we investing in ourselves? At the end of the day, is your world revolve just you? Or does it revolve around God, others, and then yourself? Last. What is your world revolve around? If it revolves around you, we're headed to a place in eternal hell. Because if your population is one and it's you, not good. We can change it today, though, and we can be a faithful servant. Today is a day of salvation. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, I am thankful for each one that came this evening, and Lord, I know that you did that intentionally. Lord, I pray that for some, that this is an encouraging message, that they can see that they are being faithful, that you will one day say to them that they are a good and faithful servant. And Lord, I pray that they would continue being faithful servants. And Lord, maybe this would be even encouragement to continue doing that, to continue investing, even when discouragement and frustration and droughts and famines and all those things come our way, that they would be encouraged to continue to be faithful, to continue to do what you've asked them to do, to follow the commandments, to read your word, to talk to you and build a relationship. I pray that they would be encouraged to do that. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight who has been an unfaithful servant, that in their heart they have really never put their faith and trust in you and have never really intended to, Lord, that you would convict their heart this evening, or that you would work in their heart, that they would see that obedience to you is the most important thing, that they need to follow you, that they need to put their trust and faith in you first and foremost, and then to follow everything that you say. Lord, I pray that there would maybe even be some that would make that commitment this evening, to change, to believe you, to follow you, and to be an obedient servant. And Lord, I pray that you would bless their efforts in doing that. Lord, that you would grow them in you, and that they would be able to point others to Christ as well. Lord, I pray for this evening. I pray that you'd help us to keep us safe as we go home. And Lord, that we would point everything back to you, that we would do and use everything that you've given us for your honor and glory, that there wouldn't be things that we keep back for ourselves, that we, even parts of our heart that we keep for ourselves, that we sacrifice it and give it for you, because, Lord, there is so much more value and rewards in heaven than we can even imagine. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.